Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. We better start paying attention to what's happening around the country as it relates to law and order and safety and security because, well, let's see, we have a security guard that died after being shot in an attempted robbery in San Francisco. You got a group of 20 to 30 robbers swarming a Best Buy in Minnesota on Black Friday. You got a retired police officer shot while guarding a TV crew in California. He's died. In New York City, a career criminal is charged with attempted murder for opening fire and wounding two cops responding to a 911 call on Thanksgiving Eve. You got a man charged with murder of a 58-year-old woman who plunged to her death on a New York City subway stairs during a botched robbery there. These flash mobs, this looting now that's going on all around the country because prosecutors are not prosecuting. They're not enforcing the law. So you have mobs of people going in even to high-end stores with hammers now and stealing these very expensive items. Now, what is the result of all of this? Well, now a lot of these stores are saying, bye, we'll see you later. And you know what? If you want our products, you can buy them online. It's not going to end until policing continues the way it used to and enforcing the law happens again in America. You know, this defund, dismantle the police, a no bail law mentality that even Joe Biden and Kamala Harris support is insane. Here's Congresswoman Tlaib saying we ought to abolish prisons.
I think that everyone's like, oh my God, we're going to just release everybody.
That's not what
but did you see how many people are mentally ill that are in prison right now?
No, I know, but the act that you says release everyone.
But
in 10 years,
but think about it, who are releasing?
But there are like human traffickers.
Oh, I know.
Child sex. So, but you're saying, do you mean that you don't actually support that?
No.
Because in your vision, there is still whatever proportion they are, a small proportion who do need to be behind bars.
Yeah, again, I would have to look at every case individually right. And figure that all out. I can't just say that.
Listen to this San Francisco police officer commenting on this.
Something like this that happened at the Nordstrom, that organized, did that surprise you?
No, it didn't surprise me at all. So you had the Walgreens, you had the Nordstrom, now you have Louis Vuitton, Burberry, Yves Saint Laurent, all of these high-end places just getting hit by mobs of people who are organized to do this. And there is no fear of any type of repercussions. So people are coming into the city and just causing havoc, knowing that they can get away with it.
They covered up their license plate numbers. Do you think that any of these people will ever be tracked down and prosecuted?
I mean, I'm hopeful. We did catch 8 people that night. But that level of sophistication, what you just said, covering their license plates, right? No ordinary crook or criminal is going to do that. Right? So here you have a very sophisticated network of thieves knowing what they're doing, targeting what they want to go after. You know, the big lie here is about, you know, Prop 47. When the ACLU supported that and said, oh, we'll make your neighborhoods and schools safer, no, they didn't. Thieves have figured out what the game is. You mean I could steal up to $950 and I can only get a citation if I get caught, and those citations will never be prosecuted.
I mean, if we allow these crimes to continue, these smash and grab robberies, and you don't hold people accountable, well, it's okay as long as you don't steal $1,000 or more. So you can steal $999 and you're fine. Former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich has a great article about this. He joins us now. It ought to be a wake-up call, you're right, but I don't see it becoming a wake-up call.
Well, I think it's a wake-up call for everybody who sees it. And, of course, the propaganda wing of the media doesn't want to show it, although gradually, if it's happening in your town, it's showing up on television locally. And I think the country's moving very rapidly towards an anti-criminal, pro-police model. We certainly saw that in the elections in Virginia, New Jersey, and then Seattle, Washington, a number of them, San Antonio. I think that, what's fascinating is you have almost an Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged level of the collapse of civilization with the Biden administration and the big government socialists in the House and Senate on the side of the collapse. I mean, it's true across the board, whether it's energy or it's inflation or it's opening up the border or it's allowing criminals to go loose. I mean, you have to ask yourself, what did these people think would happen if you released murderers and rapists and armed robbers? That they would suddenly be converted and, you know, go to Sunday school? There's a form of almost madness here.
Look at what's happened, for example, all across the country. Defund, dismantle the police. Why we don't go after what? Well, there's no commission that Liz Cheney is on looking into the 535 riots. Dozens of Americans were killed. Thousands of cops pelted with bricks, rocks, bottles, Molotov cocktails, and worse. Thousands injured. Billions in property damage. How come they're not interested in those riots?
Well, I think you have to start with a belief, which I have reluctantly come to, that the big government socialists are corrupt, that if they're not going to look into, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop, despite the great new book on Laptop from Hell by Miranda Devine, which is a must read, they're not going to look into Hillary's 31,000 or 32,000 deleted emails. They're not going to look into night after night for over a year in Portland, Oregon, of Antifa, the left-wing radicals. So what you have is a totally corrupt system in which, tragically, the Justice Department and the FBI are part of the corruption. You have people who are really determined to go out and to defend the level of violence that we're seeing. And as you pointed out at the beginning of this segment, this isn't just property. I mean, people are being killed. Other people are being injured. And in the long run, how can you expect to have any kind of society if you put up your stand or your shop and the next minute 35 people show up to steal it all? This is not sustainable. And I think that as that sinks in, the country's going to become very much as they were with Giuliani. They're going to become very committed to law and order, and they're going to become very anti-violent crime, and they're going to run over the kind of big government socialists you see in the House and Senate. And I think, you know, the 2022 campaign in part is going to be on this core issue. Are you on the side of the innocent?
I think you add to that. Yeah, and add to that, the parents would like a say in their kids' education. They would like reading, writing, math, science, and computers over CRT. They want age-appropriate materials for their kids. They want a say in the education of their children. That was a big issue in the last campaign, in the last election. And I think then it expands out from there to the Afghanistan disaster, the border disaster, the inflation disaster, the energy price disaster, all caused by Joe Biden's policies.
Right. I think you have to recognize that all of this is hurting real people. When you raise the price of heating your home in the winter, and you live in Maine or New Hampshire or any place across the northern tier, this eats right into your personal budget. When you raise the price of gasoline, it's a tax on the poorest Americans, and everybody who fills up their car or truck knows it because they're feeling it personally. When you raise the price of natural gas, you raise the price of fertilizer, you indirectly raise the price of food, and everybody's feeling that pain. But think about this. Biden goes through this big show about we're going to cut off travel from South Africa. Well, all you have to do as a South African is fly to Mexico and walk across the border. There's going to be no requirements. They're not going to check your criminal record. They're not going to check you for COVID. I mean, we had 1,400,000 people enter the country illegally with none of them being checked for public health reasons and none of them being checked anymore for crime. But, boy, we're going to make a big display at the airports. This system is totally broken, and these people are the most corrupt we've seen, I think. And I've never seen, as a historian, any period of this level of open corruption that we are now enduring from Washington.
Well, now you're really describing Miranda Devine's book. I mean, I finally got a manuscript of this. There were excerpts of it in the paper today in the New York Post, and it goes into great specificity and great detail that Joe Biden was up to his eyeballs in meeting Tony Bobulinski, in doing deals with China, benefiting off the Biden name, cashing in off the Biden name. And yet we saw what happened in the last election. The media had a complete blackout on anything involving the laptop from hell.
Well, you know, your folks sent me this YouTube video, which I'm guessing you're going to play presently, of Biden talking about that you prostitute yourself in politics. And he ends by saying, and he's a prostitute. Says Biden is a U.S. senator. You know, the whole system is now so corrupt. And you see it again and again. You see it in the relation with China, where billionaires sell out the United States to make a little extra money. You see it with the NBA, which does anything the Chinese want. Just go down the list.
And you know what? Let me. It's a 2-minute cut, but I think it's worth playing, and then we'll have 2 minutes on the other side of it for you to comment about it.
Okay.
It's too important not to play it. Let me play it for you.
Senator Biden, it's nice to have you here. As the youngest member of the Senate, the one, therefore, who may expect the longest career there, I wonder if you'd say to us, since it's clear that you're not corrupt and you got elected, why should people think that the system produces corrupt results when there you are?
Well, I'm not sure you should assume I'm not corrupt, but I'm thank you for that, though. The system does produce corruption, and I think implicit in the system is corruption, when in fact, whether or not you can run for public office, and it costs a great deal of money to run for the United States Senate, even from a small state like Delaware, you have to go to those people who have money, and they always want something.
Well, I wonder whether you would feel that there's some virtue in forcing candidates to go out and try to raise money. I've heard people, probably people who didn't run for office, say that it's uplifting to go out and try to get money. Do you think that there's something unuplifting about putting a limit to how much you can ask one man to give you?
I think it's the most degrading experience in the world to have to go out and ask for money, because you know that unless you accidentally agree with the position taken by the person or group that has the money, that you run the risk of deciding whether or not you're going to prostitute yourself to give the answer you know they want to hear in order to get funded to run for that office. In fact, you know that the only way you can raise any money to get to run for public office is to go to vested interest groups. Then, in fact, you're put in the position that you have to begin to wonder whether or not you prostitute the ideas that you have about government in order to get the money to begin to run.
Of course, you've had recent experience with this, having been elected in 1972.
That's correct.
And I believe you just said that your campaign cost some $300,000.
$276,000.
All right, so and you raised that money by public contributions, did you not?
That's correct.
And you raised that money in a race against an incumbent, did you not?
That's correct.
Yes. And, Senator, I'm sure that you would agree that your service in the Senate up to this point has not reflected any particular concern for the larger contributors.
Well, the fortunate thing is I didn't have many larger contributors, and the only reason, see, I went to the big guys for the money. I was ready to prostitute myself in the manner in which I talked about.
I want your response to that, Mr. Speaker, because it takes my breath away.
Well, it took my, when I saw it, it took my breath away. In fact, I had several of my folks here at Gingrich 360 listen to it because it's crazy. I mean, it tells you a lot about what a hack politician Biden has been his whole career. And it certainly makes you believe that Miranda Devine's new book, Laptop from Hell, is almost certainly accurate. And this is a family engaged in criminal behavior and prepared to deal with America's greatest competitor, the Chinese communist dictatorship, and prepared to rake in the money. And it tells you how sick the system is that Hunter Biden has not already been investigated and, frankly, arrested. I mean, the stuff in this laptop is just unbelievable. And I'm told that the things she couldn't print are more sickening and more disgusting than the things that she put into her book. So, I think there has to be an effort nationwide to demand that the Congress hold hearings and investigate and to demand that the Justice Department open a criminal case against Hunter Biden. I mean, I have no doubt about it. And given everything we've heard so far, I think it's very possible it goes right up to the President of the United States. And since it involves China and Russia and Ukraine, it's a real national security issue, not just a corruption issue. But that video is unbelievable, and it's a sad commentary that the Trump people didn't have it last year and didn't use it.
Well, we appreciate you being with us. Former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. There's your Joe Biden, and there's your dismantle, defund, and no bail Democratic Party. And what do we have as a result? Yeah, we've got a real crisis around the country with the smash-and-grab robberies pretty much happening everywhere. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is our number. Quick break, right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 25 now until the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, our number. You want to be a part of the program. Pretty amazing. We'll get to this at the top of the next hour. The total freak out over this Omicron variant, and we don't have a single case in the U.S. Now, it doesn't mean we shouldn't keep our eye on it. It doesn't mean we shouldn't take it seriously. It doesn't mean that we have to pay attention to the science of it, but we don't know much about it yet. Now, you know, that's funny that, you know, Joe Biden immediately puts in place a travel ban. Well, I thought travel bans were hysterical and xenophobic and racist. That's what he told us. You know, or Joe Biden, you know, claiming when there were 220,000 dead Americans in 2020, we now have surpassed the death toll of 2020 of COVID deaths. And Joe Biden was given three vaccines and monoclonal antibodies. How is that possible? And then we get the great Dr. Fauci. He's defending the Omicron travel variants. And he had a showdown, for example, with Ted Cruz, because both Ted Cruz and Rand Paul rightly have been asking for Fauci to step down, and they're right to do so. As a Wall Street Journal article, COVID-19 vaccines, infections, which carries the stronger immunity. And, you know, there's now emerging evidence that that people that actually had COVID are getting as much protection as the vaccines, prompting some experts to suggest a nuanced approach to vaccine mandates. You think? So I thought we were going to follow the science. Now, the scary part of the initial articles about Omicron and the variant there, and I have no idea which way this is going to go. And I again urge you to do your research and talk to your doctor and doctors and take into account your unique medical history and your current medical condition. But initially, it was a race to hysteria. That Omicron variant carries a number of genetic mutations that might cause it to spread quickly, even among vaccinated people. That's what we were reading. Now, of course, then we have Joe Biden flouting his own mask mandate. He's in a store, I guess, in Nantucket, and you got a photo of him. And on the cover, on the window of the store, it says required face covering. And there's Joe Biden without his mask on. Did Nantucket officials penalize Joe for violating their mask mandate as required by law? No. The San Francisco mayor once again caught violating her own mask mandate. We got that on tape also. And we'll show you tonight on Hannity. Now we're learning new information about COVID. Remember, Biden slammed Trump in 2020. Anyone responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths should not be president. Okay, there's more deaths under Biden's watch than Trump's watch. Listen.
220,000 Americans dead. If you hear nothing else I say tonight, hear this. Anyone who's responsible for not taking control, in fact, not saying I take no responsibility initially, anyone who's responsible for that many deaths should not remain as president of the United States of America.
Oh, okay, Joe, then resign. Based on your standard, Joe. Oh, that's right. That's called politics. One reporter asked Biden about the market's reaction to all of this on Friday, and he said, well, the markets always go down when COVID rises. Does it worry you? No, not at all. Asked by another reporter, you know, what do you say to questions that whether bans create an incentive for countries not to come forward with new variants that you're penalized for? He said, that's ridiculous. You can't hide variants. It's not like someone could hide the fact that there's a variant. Now, the name, by the way, we got into this earlier. Of course, they're going to bypass the Greek alphabet because it has XI, which is President Xi of China. Oh, we don't want to offend anybody. That's a separate issue. But, you know, Biden, you know, now has adopted Trump's policies on travel bans. And he said it was hysterical. And he said it was xenophobic. He said all those things.
In moments like this, this is where the credibility of the president is most needed, as he explains what we should and should not do. This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysterical xenophobia, and fear-mongering to lead the way instead of science.
Oh, what about your fear-mongering, Joe? I mean, and there is a report now, and this came out yesterday. I don't know if it's true, but this is coming from a South African doctor who happened to be one of the first to suspect a different coronavirus strain among his patients. he's saying that the symptoms of Omicron, the variant that everybody got hysterical about immediately, he said so far are mild and could be treated at home. The doctor's last name is Kotsis, a private practitioner, chairman of the South African Medical Association, telling Reuters that she noticed seven patients at her clinic who had symptoms different from the Delta variant, albeit very mild, quote unquote. You know, Fauci says the U.S. should be prepared to do anything and everything to fight the Omicron variant. Well, what about the Lambda variant? What about the Mu variant? What about all the other variants, the R.1 variant that they warned us about? Rand Paul blasting Fauci as astounding and alarming to declare, I represent science. Can you believe this? He's science? Is he that arrogant? And he continues to lie as it relates to the issue of the origins of the COVID vaccine. He's even now back making the case that this was, you know, coming from a wet market when we know from his emails, we know from The Intercept, and we know from recent documents released that he knew damn well that the NIH was funding gain-of-function research and the Wuhan Virology Lab through this EcoHealth Alliance. You know, as Senator Cruz said, Fauci's an unelected technocrat who's distorted science and facts in order to exercise authoritarian control over millions of Americans. He lives in a liberal world where his smug, I represent science attitude is praised. And then he went on to point out the truth that on May 11th, Fauci testified before a Senate committee that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain of function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. That was a lie. By the way, if you're charged with lying before Congress, that's 5 years in jail. Up to 5 years in jail. On October 20th, the NIH wrote that they funded an experiment at the Wuhan lab testing, quote, if spike proteins from naturally occurring bat coronaviruses circulating in China were capable of binding to human ACE2 receptors in a mouse model. By the way, that's an admission of gain-of-function research. Fauci's statement and the NIH's October 20th letter cannot both be true. The statements contradict one another. And by the way, 18 U.S.C. 1001 makes it a felony punishable up to 5 years in prison to lie to Congress. And he's being called out for that. You know, he's still pushing the wet market theory. He knows better. And the media mob just loves him. There are no cases of the Omicron virus variant yet identified in the U.S. I hope it doesn't come here. If it does come here, which is a distinct possibility, I hope this doctor in South Africa happens to be correct in her observation. Seems like somebody with pretty impeccable credentials. At least that's my early reading of this. In New York, immediately, you have the new governor there is, you know, jumped right on the bandwagon. Kathy Hochul now issues a state of emergency. And it's intended to increase hospital capacity in New York and will last until January 15th when it's going to be reassessed. Well, that's a problem for everyone else that there's not a single case in New York or in the U.S. at this point. There might come a time for that, but I'm hopeful that what they're seeing in these early cases, that they're rather mild, that would remain the fact and be consistent with this variant if it arrives here. They've tried to whip everybody up into a frenzy over the Lambda, the Peruvian variant. Then, of course, there was the Mu variant. We talked about that at length. Then, of course, there was the fear of the R.1 variant. We keep hearing about variants. Now, variants happen. That's what viruses do. They mutate. That's why there are people that spend their entire lives and dedicate their entire lives to the study of one specific virus. Pretty amazing. Then you think of Operation Warp Speed. You think of monoclonal antibodies. You know, my main question, and we'll ask Dr. Brian Tyson and George Farid at the top of the hour, I want to know if it's likely that monoclonal antibodies would be effective. You know, now we have a second country, in this case, Qatar, with hundreds of thousands of people. Same results as they have. The early results in Israel showed that natural immunity was 27 times higher. It needs to be peer-reviewed. In terms of protecting against the Delta variant than those that had the shot, those that got the jab, those that got immunized. And again, I believe in science and I believe in the science of vaccination. But if we're going to follow the science out of Israel and these other countries should matter. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is our number. You want to be a part of the program.
The Sean Hannity Show, a thermonuclear MMA assault on fake news. Hannity's on right now.
I will talk to our experts on the Omicron variant at the top of the hour and some of the conflicting information that's out there. That's all straight ahead. In the meantime, back to our phones. John is in Virginia. What's up, John? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. So everybody knows that the military is being forced to take these vaccines, and I want to express some things that are happening that I don't think a lot of people understand. So first off, I'm an 11-year active duty Navy. I've never been in trouble, never gone to captain's mass or anything like that.
By the way, thank you for your service, sir. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your support, Sean. So NAV Admin 256/21 outlines all the punitive measures that are going to happen to service members who refuse. And my religious exemption just came back denied today. So these are all going to apply to me going forward. So 11 years Navy, never been in trouble, and I'm not going to get an honorable discharge. And I was already going to get out of the Navy before July next year, regardless of all this stuff.
Why would you get out when you're only 9 years away from a very healthy pension that you've earned?
Well, the culture in the Navy has just become so toxic, and I don't think that the goals in the Navy anymore are aligned with mine. I joined to serve my country, and it's become more of a corporation than a service, and that's just not what I want to be a part of. So I made the choice a few years ago to walk away move on with my life. I don't regret my service or anything like that. It's just it wasn't for me anymore.
Unbelievable.
Now that I'm inside of 6 months of getting out of the Navy, I'm going to lose my honorable discharge. And then what that means for me is I'm going to lose my GI Bill, which was my Plan C. And I'll talk about Plan B in a minute. I'm also what's called an EP sailor. I don't know if you or anyone knows. I'm sure people listening would know what that is. But basically, it's the evaluation score that they give you. It's the highest that you can get within your command. And in 14 days, I'm going to get what's called an SP eval, or a significant problem evaluation for refusing. Let me see. So for me, I lose my GI benefits. I was going to take part of a trade school program that's called SkillBridge in order to transition out of the Navy and go from what I do now to a trade skill. For me, would have been an electrician, and that's out the window now too. I'm losing that. So now not only will I not have Plan C to fall back on, but Plan B is out the window. The 20 years that I was planning on doing originally when I joined, out the window. So that's Plan A. And right now the Navy is determined to make sure that myself and anyone else who falls under these circumstances does not have a chance at a successful life outside of military service.
This is so sad to me, because they're like doing everything they could possibly do to make your life miserable and for you to. Why wouldn't you get an honorable discharge? For the life of me, you have a perfect record. What's that?
They're saying that the refusal to get the vaccine once your religious exemption is denied, which mine and 16,000 others are on the chopping block as well. Once you're denied, you're then considered from a waiver status to a refusal status, and then you're disobeying a lawful order.
I mean, it's just so unnecessary. Can I ask you a personal question you don't have to answer? Did you ever get COVID?
I don't know. I never. So I've
got tested for antibodies.
Around a lot of people who had it, but I never caught it that I know of. I was never diagnosed with it specifically. No,
I think I have a record for having to quarantine, considering, you know, I'd be somewhere and then I get a call the next day. Yeah. By the way, the person you were next to had COVID, and then I put in place, and Linda can verify this, you know, COVID protocols that kept everybody away from me for 14 days. Later, it became 10 days, but in the beginning, it was 14. Listen, if there's anything we can do to help you, leave your name and number with Katie, and we'll try and if any opportunity we see comes up, we're going to try and pass it on to you, okay?
I appreciate it. Can I say one thing before you let me off the line?
You got 10 seconds.
We have a whole bunch. We have a whole bunch of people in Congress right now, Elaine Loria, Dan Crenshaw, I think Lindsey Graham served. Help us, please. We need help. I can't believe that I'm 11 years in and I'm going to walk away with nothing. And I'm not the only one.
Anything we can do to help you. There are a lot of jobs out there now. I'm going to figure out a way maybe to put those looking for workers, good workers like yourself, with, you know, good paying career jobs if we can find them. And so stay tuned on that. We've done this before. We'll do it again. Quick break, right back.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.